Good morning, everyone. Amen. Delighted to have you with us today. It's great to have some friends with us from California today. We welcome you. And if you're visiting from other places, we welcome you as well. Today, Brent and John begin their road trip. They're traveling out west to Brent's new location, and we wish them Godspeed and safe travels. And many of us have been praying for Clem's health, and things look like they're moving in a positive direction there. We keep praying for him. Happy to have Clem with us, of course, always. And let's just take the moment to stand up where we are to welcome one another, and then we'll come back to our sermon. So for a number of weeks now, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit is working in the world and working in our lives and the promises that still await us as gifts from the Spirit. And just a couple of scriptures today that I wanted to share. It's interesting how the Holy Spirit, the more we study the Holy Spirit, maybe the Holy Spirit's name changes. Let me explain that. So we all have our own names. And sometimes we get nicknames. And most of us feel more comfortable with our nicknames than our lengthy names. Not always, but oftentimes. And it used to be called, the Holy Spirit used to be called the Holy Ghost, which always scared me. And it was a little easier when we started to read Holy Spirit. But there are other names in the Bible that really, in my mind, help us to understand the Holy Spirit in a really welcoming, warm, wonderful way. And several of these words are words like this, comforter. Beautiful word. And a counselor, another beautiful word. Sometimes in some of the newer translations, the Holy Spirit is called the advocate. We all need someone to advocate for us. We all need comfort. We all need counseling. And those are just some of the names given to God's Holy Spirit. And Jesus talks pretty openly about the Holy Spirit to his disciples. And of course, we benefit from that by reading some of these scriptures. So if you want to follow with me in your own Bible, here are a couple of scriptures that you can also look on PowerPoint if you wish. So John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17. Out of my older NIV, it says this, Jesus speaking, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor." Stop. How often have we thought of Jesus as being called counselor? He is our counselor. Let me ask you this. Have you ever heard Jesus whisper in your ear? You might say, no, I've never heard him whisper in my ear, but I mean this ear. Have you ever heard Jesus speak to your heart? There's more to us than just us. There always has been more to us than just us. Job tells us, Psalms tell us, Paul tells us that God knew us before we were born. And he knew the exact time and places in which we would live. And the Holy Spirit testifies to our own spirit that we are God's children. Romans 8:16. The Holy Spirit is always whispering to our heart that we might remember that we belong to the lengthy, long, wonderful family of God from Zechariah's day to our day to the future days. Counselor. "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him or knows him, but you know him, for the Holy Spirit lives with you, and the Holy Spirit will be in you." And then staying in John chapter 14, verses 26 and 27. "But the counselor," you may have a translation that says comforter or advocate, "but the counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. And then he says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. And with God's Holy Spirit, there is a peacefulness to our own soul because of him. The Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. Now, I'll just stop for a moment and ask us to think back that just before Jesus left the earth, and this is in Matthew's account, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and remembering to teach those things that I've commanded you, which always stuck in my mind. What if they forget? If I was one of his disciples, I'm supposed to teach people everything that you taught me, but I'm not sure that I remember everything that you taught me. And what John is saying about the Holy Spirit is to his disciples, he'll remind you. He will remind you of everything that Jesus taught. So we read the scriptures today, and we also, maybe we don't notice it, but we also, the Holy Spirit is always nudging us back to the scripture. He's always nudging us to know more about God. He's always nudging us to have our spirit open as he counsels us and comforts us. And then in John chapter 15, again in verse 26 and 27, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you must testify, for you have been with me from the very beginning. Okay, and then one more, and I'm going to slow down and just talk a little bit about this. In John chapter 16, verses 7 through 11. This is delicate. This is difficult. I'm not sure that I've got it all lined up, but it really is unique in what the Holy Spirit does for us. John chapter 16, beginning in verse 7. But I tell you the truth, Jesus speaking, it is for you good that I'm going away. Unless I go, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm going to stop. That's not so easy to understand. The Holy Spirit will convict the world in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. So Jesus says, let's go through this. Verse 9, in regard to sin, because people do not believe in me. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us that we have sinned and that we need to have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's not just words that we read, but the Holy Spirit convicts our heart of this. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. He convicts the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment, in regard to sin because people do not believe in me, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us that the way that we are having a right relationship with God, righteousness, that we can have a right relationship with Jesus, that we can have a right relationship with one another, is because of Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection. It's the Holy Spirit who convicts us and continually convinces us of this very fact. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. And then he says, in regard to righteousness, because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. Talking about Satan and the work of Satan in this world. Paul talks in multiple times, in the multiple ways about this very thing, that our battle is not just against flesh and blood, but against the darkness and against the principalities of this dark world. There's a spiritual realm that is very opposite to the Holy Spirit. There is a satanic spirit in this world. But what the Holy Spirit does is he reminds us of that, but he also reminds us that one day those dark forces will no longer be here. And that one day all things will be made new. It's God's Holy Spirit who comforts us with this and counsels us with this, reminds us of this, and teaches this to us. It's pretty cool, isn't it? What the Holy Spirit continually does in our lives. Now think about this with me if you, just a moment. How many of you can remember when you were thinking about being baptized? And how many of you can remember what it was like for you trying to decide if I really wanted to do this and trying to decide when I wanted to do this and trying to figure out what's going to happen if I do this and the emotional turmoil or the working through it in your own mind? How many experienced that? Okay. And how many experienced this? You couldn't leave it alone because you knew, I need to do this. How many experienced this? And then I ask a very personal question. And I know the answer. How many of you, after your baptism, said, oh, I don't like this? How many of you after your baptism said, thank you, Jesus? Yeah. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that did all that. We can say we did it all we want. But the more I read scripture, the more I read, it's God's Spirit teaching us, nudging us. Certainly we have the Word of God that we present. We do the best we can in sharing everything we can, but it's the Holy Spirit who comforts us and convicts us and guides us into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And one of the great things about the Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit's humility. The Holy Spirit is always wanting to put attention on Jesus, and Jesus is always putting attention on God, and the Holy Spirit helps us to understand all of this taking place in our life. And he's the one, the Holy Spirit is the one reminding us constantly with conviction and with comfort, whispering to us into not only our head, but our soul. It's almost as he speaks right into our heart so that we can mature as Christians. He never leaves us alone for a moment, not harassing us, not bugging us. And here's my next point. Jesus lets us know that the Holy Spirit is the advocate, the counselor, and the comforter. But the Holy Spirit is not a controller. He comforts, he counsels, he convicts, but he will not control us. He turns no one into a spiritual robot. No one. The Holy Spirit convicts us that we belong to the family of God, that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is part of us, but they will not control us. But they will whisper to us, either through sermons, scripture reading, or just the experience of life and saying, God did that. I couldn't do it. God did that. And all the way along, instead of trying to figure out all the intricate details of what the Holy Spirit does, we can just say, it's you. You do this for us because Jesus did what he did for us because God created us and will never leave us alone. One of the last words Jesus said was this: I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Even when you divert in a different direction, I never will. So the Holy Spirit loves us. The Holy Spirit guides us. He does not demand. He does not control. He does not humiliate. He does not harm. He does not rob us of our own uniqueness. The Holy Spirit does not force us or coerce us. The Holy Spirit is not abusive psychologically or any other way. But sometimes this can happen in relationships, that we want what's so best for the people that we love, that we think by sometimes suggesting things over and over and over again, that pretty soon we can't hear anything anymore because it really doesn't come across as counsel or comfort. It comes across as control. But whenever we think of God as control, or Jesus as control, or the Holy Spirit as control, we know it doesn't work because we often want to go our own way. And this great story of the prodigal son is the father always waiting for his children to come home. He didn't send out anybody. He waits. And a loving husband, a loving wife, a loving relationship with children and back and forth is this comfort, this counsel, which is often needed, but not coercion and not demanding, where pretty soon it just sort of sucks the individual uniqueness right out of us, when all along God reminds us, out of the billions and billions and billions and billions of people who have ever lived and maybe will live, there's no one like us. Each person, unique and equally loved and adored by God. And if each one of us, if we were the only ones out of the billions and billions and billions of people, if it was just us as an individual, if we were the only one that ever sinned, if no one ever sinned, but just me or you, Jesus still would have done what he did. He still would have given himself for us. And he hasn't stopped. He hasn't stopped. Nor has the Holy Spirit. Never stopped. One of the coolest scenes about the Holy Spirit is right from the very beginning. In the beginning, it says the Spirit was ready to go, hovering over the waters of the earth. There's a lot of things that could be preached about that. Ready to take action, ready to counsel, ready to go. And it's true even in our life every day. So let me conclude by just reminding me, and you probably don't need this, of, no pun intended, what a breath of fresh air the Holy Spirit is. Because the word breath really defines God's name, but breath is this Holy Spirit, this wind that blows. Jesus says that in John chapter 3. You can't control the wind, just like you can't control the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit won't control us. But he's doing things in the world to keep showing us the way to Jesus. And in Titus chapter 3, it's a reminder. In Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7, and you can read this in a variety of ways, but it goes something like this in my mind. It's Paul as he writes, and he's writing, I think, being caught up and looking back on his own past. Have you ever done this? Have you ever written to someone, type someone, emailing someone, and you have an intent that you're going to do this, and all of a sudden memories start popping up, and if you have enough time, you pop in those memories, or you stop your writing and you think back, and then you continue to write. I kind of feel that way with Paul sometimes. He's writing this book in the book of Titus, and it's a difficult book in some ways in what Paul is asking Titus to do, and then all of a sudden Paul goes, yeah, I remember this. There was a time in my life I remember this. But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, oh yeah, but before that kindness, he said, one time we were foolish, we were disobedient, we were enslaved and being enslaved by all kinds of passions which we gave into. But when the kindness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ appeared, he saved us. Not by righteous things we had done, but by his mercy. He saved us by the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. So just a couple of reflections. So a grandchild comes in crying, dirty, fell down, hurt himself. And so we pick up this grandchild and let him know he's loved. And we bring him into the bathroom, pour water, and soothe the sores. And if there's a bit of a cut, you know, we put our hands all over this lovely little grandson and love him up. And what we're doing is we're washing, we're rebirthing him. We are reminding ourselves how much we love this child. And how does the child react? Thank you. Thank you, Pappy. Thank you, Grammy. I feel better. I feel refreshed. I feel restored, revived. That's what God's Holy Spirit does for us. It's a renewing. It's a refreshing. The washing of water and rebirth. It's only happened one time in my experience as a pastor doing a wedding at Balls Falls, not too many years ago, where the bride and the groom said, we want to wash each other's feet as part of our ceremony. And I can honestly say, I thought, well, that's going to be kind of wet. It's going to be kind of messy. It doesn't really go with what I want to do. That's not what the Holy Spirit would say. And I confess, even when it came time to doing this, I didn't do anything except say my words. And then when it was over, they preached their wedding. It was so beautiful. Just very gently, he got down on his knee and took off one shoe of her foot and just bathed her foot. And then he lovingly dried it, put her shoe back on, and then she did the same, took off his shoe, lovingly washed it. It was a beautiful statement without words of, I will lovingly serve you and care for you forever. I will lovingly serve you and care for you. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. That's what Jesus does for us. That's what God is reminding us of, what Jesus and the Holy Spirit does for us. Let's pray. So God, we thank you beyond words for your love. We thank you that you continually wash us and renew us and revive us. That you love us so much that you won't control us, you won't turn us into robots, and that you want us to flourish with our own individual gifts and talents and uniqueness to honor you and the world around us. And may we serve you and each other as you serve us. Amen.
's for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.